This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Our Father, who art in heaven, the Lord be thy name. Your kingdom comes, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Father God, I just thank you that you are so faithful, and God, that you are our Father. You're not just a daddy, but you are our Father. You're the heavenly King. And you've got our best interest in hand, Lord God, this morning. And we just want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to worship you, Father God. I want to ask, Lord God, that you come and you soften our hearts now. Father, we come against this fear of man where we want to take this step and say, but I need something. I need this prayer. But we hold back because we're so afraid of what people are going to see. And Father, I pray that fear of man in the name of Jesus be taken away now. And that those have got that heaviness, those that need that prayer, those that are struggling with that breakthrough. Father, because sometimes so often we pray for something, but we don't pray through something. And this morning we want to bring that to you, Lord God. We want to be your people that prays through, Lord God, that sees the breakthrough. And we wait patiently upon you, Lord God. Just take a two or three minutes and pray for each other. I want us to turn next to each other and basically pray. But we need to just lift up the Spirit and allow the Spirit to move here this morning. And so if you're a sound or a word that you don't recognize, just understand that that is our heavenly language. God brings to us and he brings us to that level of saying, hey, I can't talk to you just in a normal way, but I'm going to give you the special language, and I want you to lift it up to me. Speak what is from your heart, and the Spirit will intercede for you. So those of you that can pray in the Spirit, I want you to just go for it. Because we're going to spend another couple of minutes here. And I tell you, I have been prayed a sermon this morning. I truly feel that the Lord wants to minister to you this morning. That is what prayer is about. That is what it is, to make ourselves, our utmost desires known to the Lord. To glorify Him in what we do. And if you pray this morning, don't just pray for what you're going to get or what you want, but pray for what God wants to do, needs to do in your life. Pray for those areas where you need to change. Pray for those areas where you need to do sacrifice, where you need to consecrate and give it unto God. But here's a challenge this morning. I don't want you to pray to somebody that you've been with during a week, you've sat next to this week. I want you to pray with somebody that you haven't spoken to this week. That uncomfortable. But I'm truly trusting that the Lord will guide you in this. There's no fear of man. Romans 8 verse 1 says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Hold it on. Hold on to that. You are worthy of it all, O Lord. As we utter, Lord, we just say, let day and night, let our incense arise to you, Father God. Let our words and our actions and our deeds, Father, just be there to glorify your name. Let your presence be a sweet aroma around us, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that we can step into that. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I've prepared a massive big sermon, but I just truly feel that the Lord is here to minister to each and every one of you. And as we speak about as we started last week with being an ambassador in everyday life, and we spoke about, you know, what it takes to be that ambassador. What is the key features of being that ambassador? And it's basically daily conversation with the King. And our daily conversation needs to, when we speak it out, when we say it, when we go out there, that needs to reflect what is on the King's heart. You know, so when we speak about a mission-driven life, or a life that we... What are we actually talking about? And a key thing is you need to know what your identity is first. And then you need to understand that because of that identity, you have conversation that needs to flow day and night. Sunday evening, I was driving to Swakopmund to go visit the congregation there, but also to do some training. And on my way, I get this message, and I've arranged with a gentleman to come and help me at my house with various things that need to happen. And he messages me and says, "Listen, Meneer, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to come because we received a job and we're going to be away for 2 months." Okay, so let me give you background. And I think I've shared this pretty much before. This guy comes up one Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon. He pitches up at my gate. And he says, "Meneer, I'm George. I'm looking for a job." I say, "Yo, George, this is the most difficult thing for me to do. Because my heart breaks for this guy. Because I can see he's got nothing. Absolutely nothing. My heart breaks for him. But on the other hand, as we are, we need to be protective of our family. We need to protect our layer. But it's as if I just feel this urgency to let this guy in into my circle." And I said to him, "All right, if I see you Monday morning, then we got a deal." And I give him some oranges and bread. And I'm waiting for Monday morning. So for me, I'm like 7 o'clock, nobody there. 8 o'clock comes, nobody there. 9 o'clock, the doorbell rings. And here's George. And I was like, "Sure, George." And he's there. You know what? I give him food and I give him a coffee. And I said to him, "Okay, I want this done." Oh, and he works the whole day. And I thought, okay, this is a good one. So the next week comes and he pitches up like 9:30. And I was like, "George, where are you? And why is it taking so long for you to get here?" "No, he's got to walk from Ochimuse to my house. And I can't walk in the dark because it's a bit more dangerous." And so he starts walking around about 7 o'clock when it starts getting light. And then he gets to my house because it's close to 6, 7, 8 kilometers. And he does it every single day because he's looking for a job. He goes from house to house. So in this situation, or in my situation, I've got to be a good steward as well, and I only allow him 1 day a week. But that particular morning, I have a meeting somewhere, and my lease phones me. She says, "Listen, this guy's very ill. He's going to go home." And I said, "Well, I suspected something like this might happen. He's going to, you know, fool me once." And I gave him money for the clinic, and he went to the hospital. I said to him, "All right, just come when you feel better tomorrow or the day after." So basically a whole week goes by, and we don't hear from George. We don't see George. We don't know where he is. And I was like, well, at least I tried something, and I gave an opportunity. So fast forward, that Saturday or Friday afternoon, my wife gets to, this yellow place, building place, lifestyle center, mega built. Yeah, that one. That Pupkovic business. So she gets there, and who comes running from the other side of the parking towards it. This is George. And he's like, I'll be there tomorrow. I said to my wife, I don't think this is going to work. And I really don't, honestly, don't think he's going to come. So the next morning, he pitches up, but he brings his nephew. And I was like, no, George. So from behind, I can hear my wife. Okay, so she's got enough to basically sentence me right there, because how do I allow this guy, two guys now, that I don't know from nowhere in my house or in my yard? And besides that, our precious memory that works for us, she's like, hierdie mense, ek trust hom nie. And you know, that it continued to break my heart, because I felt there's like, whoa. You tried to do something good, but because of the previous actions that so many others have taken, these guys are scarred, and they won't be able to do something. But again, I went on my own instinct, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do this thing. And I said, right, guys, I do have a lot of work for you. And I gave them an opportunity, and they started taking all the pallets, dismantle them, and we went to go fetch them. My bucky looked like a good Zimbabwe air trolley for every Monday morning. And as we get here, then we offload and they work hard. But now you got to understand that when I have them in my car, they can't go anywhere. So I was like, wow, opportunity. Let's start to speak into their lives. Because I can give them food, I can give them money. But on the spiritual side, what are they going to get from it? All right? So I move on. I say, all right, guys, do you go to church? And so we start having conversations. So it's, a month goes by. And one morning I pick them up. And I say, George, Dion, tell me. It's been a month now since we started to know each other. There's hard things that I've said to you. There's certain things in your life that you need to get right. But what is the key things that impacted you the most? So obviously the one is that they have more regular income, which they can buy food and sort of provide at home. But on the other hand, out of the blue, the one says, you know, sir, the most impact that was made this week or this month was that we can stand up every morning and we can pray and we can say, hey, Lord, guide us. But we have a positive attitude towards this life, towards this day. Even though we don't know what we're going to get today, but we have this encouragement of I can move forward. And what they do is they say to me, we pray every day for a job. And I said, well, guys, when we finished here, this is going to be it. I can only take one of you to help me out once a week, but I'm going to continue to pray that God will do something in your life. And Sunday night, I get this message saying, please don't give my job away, but I've got a job for 2 months, me and Dion. Why did I touch on this morning? Because so often, what is prayer like for us in our lives? God, please give me this. God, please do this for me. God, please do that for me. Because we see God as the genie in a bottle and allowing him, or just wanting him, that when we rub the bottle, boop, things must happen. And then we say, yeah, but God is not a good God because he didn't answer my prayers. But you know that no is also an answer. Gratitude is thanking God after he has done something. But faith is thanking God before he does it. Prayer isn't about outlining our agenda to God. It's about getting into his presence and his word, discerning his agenda for you. So what is your prayer life like? How do you see prayer? Before you came in this morning, was prayer that place of preparation for you? Say, Lord, guide me through this day. Guide me, prepare me that my encounter with you today will be one of impact. Is prayer for us that place where when the popo hits the fan, that's when we go on our knees? Or is it that place? And basically we go into context of what the Bible says, and the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, but without understanding what Jesus really meant when he said it. See, and these are questions that so often we struggle with because we don't really understand it. We don't understand the full purpose of prayer and how God, what is God's purpose with prayer. So firstly, prayer is a communication with God. But John Piper writes it in the following. He says, God has established prayer as the means by which we receive his supernatural help. And without supernatural help, we cannot live a life worthy of the gospel. Everything that distinguishes Christians from the world in a Christ-exalting way is a work of God's supernatural grace. I'm going to read that sentence again. Everything that distinguishes Christians from the world in a Christ-exalting way is a work of God's supernatural grace. And God has ordained this grace, that this grace flows to us through prayer. How do we distinguish ourselves through the world? By way we pray to God. That's why prayer must be central and not peripheral. You know, not the outskirts. Must be the central part of our being. In our lives and families and ministries. So different kinds of prayers. We've got the prayer of faith, believing that we will be healed, believing that we will receive that healing that God says. You know, in James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Intercessory prayer, corporate prayer, that's what we do on a Thursday. We don't just get together and pray for each other. We pray for the church. We pray for our town. We pray so that the words of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, that says, do not be divided, but be in unity, in thought, and in purpose. And that's what we pray for when we do intercessory prayer. That we as a congregation can have the breakthrough because we are the same thought and the same purpose. We are in unity. Prayer of request and supplication, you know, God, asking God for what we need. Thanksgiving, worship, consecration. Prayer of intercession for others. That burden that you get from the Lord and saying, hey, you've got to pray for this person. Continue, continue, continue. Just listen to what Mark Batterman writes. He says, or Batterson, he says, if you pray to God regularly, irregular things start to happen on a regular basis. Huh? Irregular things. That which you cannot sometimes explain, but it happens on a regular basis. So praying can bring structure. There's a good structure that we can outline, and I'm going to sort of fast forward with a couple of things this morning to finish up. And but we call it the twofold litmus test, right? So I know it's got a lot to do with science and a lot of things, but if we look at the twofold, there's two areas in which our prayers need to be dedicated to, which is the first one is, are we praying the will of God? And secondly, are we glorifying God with our prayers? Okay. So what is a litmus test then? If you say something that is a litmus test of something, you mean that it is an effective and definite way of proving it or measuring it. So in other words, it's your positional authority in Christ that gives you a holy confidence as you pray. When Matthew 18:18 says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, the word bind has a legal connotation, and it means to place a contract on something. This is precisely what happens when you pray in the will of God. You are exercising your authority as a believer to stake the claim to the promises of God. And those are the kind of prayers that honor God. So again, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not going to go and say, here's your three wishes. In a book, Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson, he writes, by definition, praying is hard. But praying hard is hard. In God's kingdom, prayer is the heavy lift. But prayer is the difference between good ideas and God ideas. It's the difference between impossible and possible. But you can't just pray like it depends on God. You have to work as well to get that working. Because it depends on you. You can't just talk the talk, but not walk the walk. So how do we get from talk the talk to walk the walk? By consecrating ourselves to the will of God. In our prayer life, in what we do. We can't just see prayer as this 5-minute morning thing of saying, Lord, this is it. Please help me today. No. You see, God wants to do amazing things in our lives. But if we don't consecrate ourselves to Him, He can't do those amazing things. Because it's like praying for something, then going out, doing it yourself, coming back and saying, the Lord didn't answer me there, but look, I got it. Because that is what the enemy wants you to do. So often we pray for things, but we don't pray through things. We pray for something, but we don't pray through it. Because that's little sentence that gets placed at the end. So we pray for something, if it be your will. Guys, we are saved in Christ. Jesus came and He paid the ultimate price for us. And in Him, we have authority. And we can speak with commandment. We speak with authority and we speak commandment over the things of our lives. That's why Matthew 18 says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. But you see, God is a great finisher. Philippians 1 verse 6, He writes, He who began a good work in you will carry it into completion. And hasn't He done it already? Hasn't Jesus died for us and completed it, so that me and you can be saved and can be free today? How often do you give up on a specific thing that you pray for? Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. I stood one day in August of 2015. Andries van der Merwe came to do a sermon. As I was sitting, the next moment, these words, let me just ask, who has ever seen words come to life. They're like bold in front of you when you hear them not for the first time, but you hear them from somebody else's mouth, which you've never thought. But all of a sudden, these words are alive in front of you. And as I was standing there, I was sitting at the back there, Andre says that you cannot pray for the will of God if you do not know what it is. Bam. And he didn't speak about the will of God as a general thing. He spoke about the will of God in your own personal life. Man, and as I was sitting there, these words came to life. You cannot pray, let your will be done, if you don't know what it is. And immediately, like not waiting one day, that next morning I started to fast. And I said, Lord, what is your will for me in my life? What is it that you want me to do? And this was way before I received my calling. Way before I received that precious scripture of the promise of where I am today. But it was that place of saying, Lord, if I want to pray in your will, if I want to continue doing what I'm doing, and I say, let your will be done, do I know what it is? Monday came, nothing. I was like, there was dead silence. Tuesday morning, 5:23. I remember it so well because I was sitting in that house of ours. And I was sitting alone in the front, and I was like, Lord, how do I do this? What is it that you want for me? And he gave me Matthew 18, verse 6, is basically saying that whole piece there goes about who is the most important in the kingdom of God. And he says, you're going to come, those that hurt the children, or inflict, or causes them to sin. Oh, there's trouble for you. So I'm paraphrasing a lot. But what it basically did there was it shot me into a new place of saying, hey, Lord, now when I pray, let your will be done. At least I know somewhere along the line what I'm praying for. And that just wowed me, because God is faithful. If you ask him, he will give it to you. And praying like children enables us to come to the Father with that Father, with the Father's heart, you know. So my little story, my moment that I had was amazing for me, because I understood a tiny bit of what God wanted to do in my life. It brought to play. It brought on me openness. It brought honesty. And it brought trust, which marks the communication of children to their father. Because my honesty, my openness, my seeking what God wants to do in my life, allowed God to speak into my life. How did I hear it? I saw the scripture. It's just like this Matthew coming out of on a page. I went to that and I confirmed it, because it's the work that I was doing at that moment. I was working with children. And I knew what God wanted to do in my life. So the reason God answers prayers is because his children asks. And further to that, there is intimacy between parents and children, which creates that room for seriousness and for laughter. So Jesus writes in Matthew 6, and when you pray, you must not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So it doesn't matter what words you utter. God knows what you're going to ask. But it's a way that we come to Him. It's the way that we pray to God. So just a bit of background on that. The prayer was a pillar for the Jewish piety. You know, public prayer, said aloud in the mornings, in the afternoons, and the evenings, was common for them. And at the set time of prayer, pious Jews would stop what they were doing and pray. Some discreetly, but some just loud. All right? But most of it was a pretentious display. So it was for other people to see them. So you must be careful that Jesus does not condemn public prayer. He does not condemn it. But what He does condemn is that one's internal motivation is a central concern. Because Jesus Himself prayed publicly. But what was His internal motivation? Okay? We get back to the litmus test. The will of God and to glorify God. So public prayer has a value, but prayer completely away from public view allows a person or a group, like when we do intercession, to focus exclusively on God. See, pagans repeated the names of their gods and the same word over and over without thinking. And that's what I said this morning, you know. We can pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," but it doesn't. If it's not a heart thing, if it doesn't come from here saying, you know, "Our Father," we agree to that. It's mindless mechanical repetition. And Jesus doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. He seeks the earnest repetition that flows from the imploring of your heart. So Matthew 6:19, he goes and he lays out "Our Father." And he says, "Pray then like this: Our Father who art in, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." See, the word "Father" is the Aramaic word for "Abba." So be careful that the word "Abba" was used was the language that Jesus used a lot when he spoke. But don't get confused when we use the word "daddy," that we use it with not in a respective way. Because in many newer translations, not in the Bible specifically, but newer generations use the word or relate the word "father," "Abba," and "daddy." And that's sort of a downgrading. We've got to understand that praying to God as our Father conveys the authority, the warmth, and the intimacy of a loving Father. But when we say the words "in heaven," that's the place that reminds us of God's sovereign rule and who He is. Hallowed be your name, that God would be treated with the highest honor set apart as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to pray and work for the continual advance of God's kingdom on earth. And that's what we ask. Your kingdom come. When you say that, that is what you pray for. Your kingdom come. That the presence of the kingdom, of God's kingdom in this age, through Jesus, reigns in the hearts and lives of believers in the body of Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we have a necessity, not just in physical, but in spiritual as well. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, this is a very, very, very good one to pray. Because God already forgave us through His Son Christ because of the blood that He poured out on the cross. But when they speak about our debts, they actually speak about the relationship that is between us and God. So basically what it says is it's God restore the relationship between me and you. And forgive us our debts. Restore our relationship. As we also have forgiven our debtors. As we restore the relationship of the one sitting next to us. In the same way as God restores His relationship with us and we restore it with Him, we need to restore it with people around us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Who allow us to be spared from difficult circumstances. How often do you pray, God, don't let this difficult time come to me. Let this just pass from me. But you see, trials and hardship will inevitably come to our lives. Because our lives aren't supposed to be all joyful and without hardship. But it is in that trials and hardship that we can celebrate the joy in our lives of knowing the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And it is Him who strengthens us through this. So I'm going to go to the outline structure and then I'm going to end off. So a good outline of structure to follow is the following. Just for those that this is a part where you can write down if you have something to write down. It basically says that you start with worshiping God when you pray. All right? Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then you move on to repentance. Where David writes in Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Continue with thanksgiving. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Don't you just feel you want to sing that song? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then you pray for guidance. Matthew 26:39 says, "And going a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Here Jesus understood the will of his Father. But he prayed for that guidance and said, "Lord, if it your will, just let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless," pray in faith. James 5 verse 15, and I read it in the beginning, it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Be authoritative in your prayer, because you have Jesus Christ that already paid the price for you. As he says, all authority has been given to me, and he gives it to us. And the last one, pray with authority and commandment. Now, Mark 9:25 says, "And when Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Mark 9:29. "And he said to them, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Authority and commandment. And as we're going to end off, I want to motivate you, I want to encourage you what your prayers actually is up in heaven. That it doesn't hit a ceiling, okay? It doesn't hit the walls around us and bounce us back, and then all of a sudden we don't hear anything. No. Our prayers goes to God, and it works in the following way. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, and that's Revelation 5. And as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went, and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers are incense in the throne room of God. And in Revelation 8, he takes these golden bowls and he commands the angel to throw it out onto the earth. So keep in mind that your prayers are not in vain. Your prayers are not unheard. But God takes his time in preparing the perfect time for you to either give you a yes or a no. But our prayers and the way we pray to the will of God and to glorify God is the incense in a golden bowl, while the elders are bowing down and playing their harps and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy." And as you listen to the next song, really open your hearts just to let the Lord minister to you now. And if you need that prayer, if you need prayer, if you have that heaviness on your heart, please come to the front. I really want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Do not be afraid. The Lord of hosts has gone before us, and he's prepared a way. You just have to walk it.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. Is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter you.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.